I never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to Skanon Podcast number 33 and a third.
The booty. What is wrong with you?
Niall is being replaced by a 65-year-old woman there.
Yeah, welcome to the Naked Podcast. Oh, sorry. No. 33 and a third now.
Yeah. We're in the lighthouse. That won't get us
kicked out.
I think we're in the Twilight Zone, frankly.
We're somewhere, possibly... Yes. Not good.
In the recesses of Niall's warped imagination.
Yes.
God help us all.
Being Niall Murphy.
So, Jason, what have you been watching?
Oh,
you've been busy.
A veritable feast of films. We started off on Friday night, I think, with a rewatch of Noah. The Aronofsky film.
You like this to start, though.
I gave it 3.5 when I saw it in the cinema with a kind of perplexed look on my face. I remember us discussing this at the time.
Yeah.
Rewatch, bumped that up half a star. It's terrific. Possibly second only to Lucy as my favourite blockbuster this year. It is off the wall crazy.
It is
and
nuts.
Really well put together.
Rock monsters for the win.
Much easier to accept the second time around. So
you
know
you
coming.
Actually expected.
Yeah, so it fits the story fairly well as well, even though they're still a bit bizarre. But it works, it zips along, and it's really peculiar dark at the end. But I like it a lot.
It is, I'm like we said at the time, I'm just glad it exists, because it is just so singularly odd.
Yeah.
It's the most unconventional Bible story adaptation I can think
of.
Yeah,
Crowe is great.
He is.
He's very,
really
very carries the thing along very, very well. But yeah, very much enjoyable. Go watch it if you haven't seen it, I'd say. I had a three-film Sunday, a very odd three-film Sunday in some ways.
Go on.
I watched Shell, the Scottish film. It's kind of a low-budget one. I couldn't tell you who directed it. I think it was in JDIF last year, or the year before I listed. It's this peculiar story about a garage in the middle of nowhere as a kind of daughter and dad and his daughter living in there and kind of the isolation and sort of issues with boundaries and stuff like that. And it gets a touch exploitative. I don't think it means to kind of the way it does, but the camera lingers a little, and so it kind of, some parts will work really well, some don't, but it was fine. Followed that up with The Mirror, the Tarkovsky film. Yeah, I really went out on a limb here. I had a Tarkovsky box set, and I've been kind of slow to get to make my way through them.
I've been meaning to buy that box set for
it's
years.
Great. I'm on to my fourth one now, and it's excellent. One of the most beautiful films. Like, I have it on DVD, watching on TV at home, and it's still one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen. Like, God knows what it looks like in the cinema. But it's gorgeous. It's kind of stream of consciousness story about kind of reminiscing of childhood and dreams and family and autobiography.
Did you watch this Friday night, you said?
No, Sunday. This is Sunday day.
Sunday day?
Yeah, this Friday night was Noah. Noah was good for
Friday
night.
I don't think this would have been a Friday night.
No, having said that, though, and sorry, The Mirror is great, by the way. It's one of the brilliant films. But, I rounded out Sunday night with last year at Marienbad.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which I'd never seen.
Really?
No.
Oh dear.
I bought it on DVD in a charity shop a couple of months ago. Just kind of came across it. Heard good things. I remember I bought it. Like £3 or something. And good lord.
Isn't it magnificent?
What? It's like the first 15 minutes, like, what the hell is going on? I was like, have I got the brain? But it's like 11 p.m. A couple of glasses of wine had been consumed.
Oh dear.
This was
you need to be pretty awake for this.
But I stuck with it, and it's excellent. I mean, you can see where films like Certified Copy kind of come from, like that. Really interesting, beautifully shot. I mean, beautifully shot, crisp. Yeah. The characterization are really interesting. The didn't they all sorts of scenarios play out, and the way the use of mirrors make the place. I look forward to watching it again in a more sober state. Well, not sober as in just brain working properly, because you need it. To something.
Yes.
It's an extraordinary.
Indeed.
And I finished that by watching with X-Men Days of Future Past, which I'd missed at the cinema.
And
it is excellent. I really, really liked it.
This is not the reaction I
X-Men First Class was dreadful.
It was.
It was the Austin Powers X-Men. It was terrible film. But so I kind of wanted to watch this with kind of trepidation. It's like, I'll give it a chance. Singer's back at the helm, you know, and he's a fine director, and he is the director for this.
He really is.
There's like, it's a complex story. It's the true line he gets with it to keep it all going is very, very good. And it actually really works. I liked it a lot.
Well, I'm glad you did. It's a baffling film, but then again, it couldn't be, because, like you say, X-Men First Class was just so weak that this is Singer trying to clean it up. So I appreciate the effort. I don't like it as much as you.
Yeah,
I don't think I like it as much as you. You're a big fan.
I'm a huge fan.
It's very good. I mean, it's so well put together, and the pacing of it, and the story, and the sequences. There's some great sequences.
It's worth it for the Quicksilver scene alone.
Yeah,
and the last 5 minutes.
I think overall, though, I think I didn't get bored. I wasn't bored once.
10 minutes as well.
Yeah,
the portals. Mm.
Yeah, it's so well put together as well, there's not a huge amount of exposition considering the ground you have to cover.
There's a lot of ground to cover.
Like you don't feel like you're being
show don't
dumped
tell
on top of you. Yeah, exactly.
To tell that story in that time period.
I'm not bored the audience. Crucially,
it wasn't bored.
Very well.
It certainly wasn't bored.
I liked it a lot. I think it was very well put together. And by God, to be back at Truck Someone at the Singer's House to keep on the franchise moment. I think.
Well, he's on board.
Yeah.
Sir.
Well, then good. That's me.
How can I talk this eclectic mix? Yeah, I probably can't, but I will try.
Go.
Okay, I started off inspired by your good self. I watched Roy Anderson's Songs from the Second Floor.
Good Lord, what a film.
I really like it. I don't think I like it quite as much as you. I don't think it's consistently funny all the way through, but when it reaches those highs, I bust a gut laugh.
Yeah.
It is just unbelievably funny.
But there is kind of drama as well in there. There's a little bit of sadness here and there as well.
It is quite poignant. I think the shifts between those are a bit sudden at times.
Maybe.
But on the whole, I nearly wanted to watch it again.
It's a unique voice, isn't it? It's just
very
singular. Like,
I can't think of anybody who makes a comedy like that. Or
that,
anything.
And that sequence, that, you know, the house train, for want of a better word. There's all sorts of weirdness to it.
There is the scene where everybody's arriving at the airport at once.
Yeah, there's just lots of crazy stuff in it. Mm. I liked it a lot.
All I know is I can't wait to watch You the Living, which will hopefully be coming up soon. I did one film I caught up on finally that was out recently, 71.
Oh, and?
And I like as a thriller. Oh, it goes like gangbusters.
Yeah, great stuff, pretty much.
Really doesn't. And Jack O'Connell, he's a real deal.
He's a proper star.
He is, and it has made me more keen for Unbroken. We'll see what happens. Whether it will be another Oscar bait or actually something meaningful remains to be seen, but if he's in it, that's a plus.
It means a startup, and that is someone too, is it?
Yep. It's tense as hell. I feel like seeing some sequences, but the vast majority of the film, I'm just tense.
And there's one scene really that slows down when there's a kind of explosion, and then following that it kind of slows down
a little bit, but it's
done really, really well.
But it's been so tense up to that point. Yeah. I think it's needed.
And it works so well within it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've a few little problems with it, but on the whole,
I agree.
Great performance and great debut by director Yann Demange.
I was at a Q&A with himself and the producer and the writer in the i5 when I saw it, and they were unbelievably funny and frank and forthright about it, and the kind of issues they had with it, and they were really good, really, really good, and kind of unequivocal praise for Jack O'Connell, like how good he was.
Yeah. Another evening over the weekend, I did a kind of a New York double bill, including a Scorsese. Ooh. I rewatched Taxi Driver.
You talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, excellent. And?
Oh, well, it's as great as ever. Although, the first time I saw it many years ago, it was like, oh my god, best thing ever. But you start to see all the little imperfections that you'll gloss over, even though they're there. The editing's a bit all over the shop, I think. But other than that, it's iconic for a reason.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, it's a fantastic film. I don't know if you have got DVD or Blu-ray or...
DVD.
The Blu-ray for the reissued 30th anniversary Blu-ray is astonishing. You don't see the colours on it until you see it. It's extraordinary. It bursts to life in a very different way than any previous times I've seen it.
My enduring thought after it, besides, wow, wasn't that brilliant, was how much Harvey Keitel it looks like Tommy Wiseau with the lip tuck. Anyway, I followed that up with a more recent and version of New York, Spike Lee's 25th Hour. Which is
interesting.
It is an interesting film.
This is very divisive, this film. This is quite divisive. I know people hate it.
I don't hate it. I quite like it. I didn't like it as much as when I saw it first, which was not long after it came out originally. This is only the second time I've seen it.
I saw it at cinema. Actually, when it came out.
I was
old.
So did I, yeah.
And now Lance's not quite so old, but he was five when he saw it.
It's very
stylish. I just had recklessly irresponsible parents.
Yeah, excellent.
It's very stylish. It's very poignant. The plot isn't quite as involving as I remember.
No.
Which is Edward Norton's drug dealer is about to go to jail for 7 years, and he has one last night of freedom to try and right some wrongs. And,
2002.
Yeah. 12 years ago. It doesn't feel like 12 years ago, but then again, there's one scene where Barry Pepper's character and Philip Seymour Hoffman's character are in one of their apartments and it overlooks Ground Zero.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that moment, even though it's been so long ago, it's still a gut punch.
Yeah, and it's really, it feels fresh and urgent at that point, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It really does. It was the first major film to be shot in Manhattan after 9/11, and Lee Tiss take the opportunity to make it all about New York and how it's doing and
how
the land lies. And it's quite stark. It's surprisingly funny at times.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you, Anna Paquin, for that. And
for many things.
I'd probably do the ending.
Isn't that always the way with Spike Lee?
Yeah.
Films?
Yeah.
It didn't have to be that open.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I do like it.
I like it as well. I think it's a fine, well put together, occasionally funny.
Yeah,
sorry. It's well made. I like it.
Considering his latest film was Old Boy, it can't but look good.
This is true. This is very true.
And I rounded out my viewing with a big screen rewatch of Barry Lyndon.
What a film.
This is only the second time I've ever seen it, I must confess. Yeah. And, oh, isn't it something?
It's extraordinary. It's for me, it's major Kubrick. It's top two, top three.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far, but I enjoyed it so much.
For me, it's 2001, probably followed by Barry Lyndon.
Whoa!
I saw it in the iPhone 70mm, and it's the first time I've seen it in big screen. I've seen it a couple of times when I was younger, but I hadn't seen it in years when I watched it. And to see that in the cinema it's almost like watching a different film in a way. It's like it's a joy to behold, and it's so beautiful.
I do like it. I'm not quite as keen as you. It's not in my top three Kubrick. Ryan O'Neill's accent. Bless him, he tries.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But he's fine in it. It gets a lot better.
I agree with that. It's just immensely enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the way they condense that huge story into just that 3 hours, just over 3 hours, it's quite an achievement.
How beautifully is it shot?
The Irish countryside just stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. Oh.
A great score as well.
The Saraband. Forever rattle in your head after that.
I have Barry Lyndon 9 in my Kubrick.
Wow.
What's number 1, 2, 3?
Dr. Strangelove, Shining, Full Metal Jacket.
They'd be my top three, actually. Not necessarily in that order.
Wow. It'll be 2001, Barry Lyndon, possibly Dr. Strangelove.
I'm going to rewatch 2001 later this month on the big screen, and it will be jump up. Might see you there, who knows?
It's a date.
2001 is funny for me. Clockwork Orange.
Oh, okay.
I'm not as big a fan of Clockwork Orange myself. It's
good,
but dated. Very badly dated, actually.
So much fun, though.
It's not an adjective I would have expected.
Oh, well, it's darkly humorous and really.
Jay's a big fan of the old
ultraviolet. And Warren Carter said, actually,
indeed,
of,
poor Dan.
The Droogs.
Yeah.
That's a mad Droog, that is Georgie. What's the other guy's name? Georgie, something. And Dim. Fiddy well.
Yeah.
Niall, what about you?
Yes, so mine is a bit more modern than the pair of you.
Oh, shock horror.
Oh, yes, indeed. So I start with
Guardians of the Galaxy.
J.J. Abrams and Super 8. He's homage to Spielberg.
He's ripoff of Spielberg.
Well, Spielberg is an executive producer on it, so.
Oh, well, that's not an homage.
It starts with the Amblin bloody logo. It's got. It says Spielberg and.
It's okay.
An homage is virtually a sex act.
It's got Kyle Chandler in it, therefore.
That's
it gets
a plus.
It gets
that
a pass.
Is very much a plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Elle Fanning.
She's very good in it.
And a great Michael Giacchino score.
Yeah. No, I really like
After that, I sort of have problems.
Yeah.
Visually, it's quite impressive.
I see one more lens flare.
Yeah.
It's okay. I liked it well enough when I saw it. Kind of forgot about it since.
I just found it very forgettable.
Really a loss.
The train crash is extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary pile of CG forgettability. I don't know. I just feel very nonplussed about Super 8 as a film. All the hype that came around it. Oh, it's so Spielbergian. Yeah, but no.
There's a reason why Spielberg can do it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Spielberg.
Leave it to Spielberg. Exactly. And even then, he hasn't done it quite right in a while. So.
Still, we have hope, Robert. Oh, yes.
As long as it's not in D5, we have hope.
Yes, absolutely. Jeez, no. We're not going down that rabbit hole. I follow that immediately up with Skyfall.
Much better.
Very good.
Love Skyfall.
My favourite Bond film.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
As somebody that's not a huge Bond fan, it's probably not surprising. So I think it's the best instance.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's so much fun. So self-aware. And Ralph Fiennes kicking ass. That is
Albert Finney.
Welcome to Scotland.
So yeah, I really like Skyfall. I think it's top tier Bond.
That is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's absolutely is a rewatch of this.
I know. Yeah.
So I also watched Full Metal Jacket. My wife had never seen Full Metal Jacket before.
She'd never seen it. What is her major malfunction? I'm not.
And yeah, when Henry's given him quite a lot of abuse, she was like, "Holy hell!" It's a staggering film.
Where are you from, Private Pa? Yeah, it's I don't think it's top tier Kubrick personally. It's half of top tier Kubrick.
First half or second?
First half.
I loved it.
The second half is fine, but it's nowhere near.
The first half is better. Yeah.
The problem is, it may not have the energy, but that's just I think that's because the first half takes is very much one location.
It's one story.
It's a film of two halves, especially. Yeah. I feel like a football pundit. It's a game of two halves. But
that's enough of that.
Yeah. Football, what the hell happened to me?
Yeah,
as Ron Atkinson once said, either team could win or it could be a draw.
And for those of you watching it, for those of you watching in black and white, the blue ball is the one behind the black.
No, it was the 1976 FA Cup final. It was, for those of you watching on the black and white TV, Spurs are in the yellow strip.
Right, we've converted into sports somehow.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket, very, very good.
Yes, very, very good. On the
really,
host tonight.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Quite good.
Quite good, I'd say.
It's up there for me.
Yeah, no, it's up there for me too.
No. It'd be towards the bottom for me. But it's a high bar. Exactly.
It's,
I mean,
Kubrick. They're all.
All bad Kubrick is good. You know what I mean? It's the worst film. Which.
Eyes Wide Shut.
No. Of the ones that are known, particularly Lolita.
Mm.
I prefer the remake.
You're not alone there.
Yeah, a few people do. I prefer the original, but
Jeremy Irons is just perfect for Humbert Humbert. But anyway, yes,
we digress.
And then, last but not least, I rewatched The Hunger Games because it was on Film 4 last night.
That's so good.
Yeah,
really?
A lot of fun.
Hunger Games is it's the first one is fine.
It's okay.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a passable
really
battle royale.
It's more than passable.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
I know.
I liked a lot of it.
It's okay. I'm forgettable after that for me.
The second one is better.
No, I think that I prefer the first one.
I've yet to see the second one. No. It's been out to Netflix, so we'll get around to it.
Yeah, so this is what I'm doing this week. I'm rewatching them in the lead up to next week when the
Mockingjay.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that 6 months' time on Netflix.
Biggest movie of the year, Jason will watch it next year.
Well, the biggest movie of the year, maybe.
On
oh,
Netflix.
It will be.
The
Hobbit don't even see it at all, so. I mean, big movies mean nothing, guys. They mean nothing.
To you.
Know?
They mean nothing to me.
On to things that mean nothing.
Oh, Vienna.
Sony is going to make, well, rumors have it that Sony's going to make an Aunt May prequel.
Finally, all those letters they sent in have come up.
Aunt May is a secret agent.
I would watch this if it was Rosemary Harris's Aunt May.
That'd be brilliant. Sally Fields Aunt May either way.
Either way, this is ridiculous.
If the guys from behind South Park were behind this, I'd watch it.
I was good.
Otherwise,
I saw this announced the other day, and I thought, is this an Onion headline?
Actually, that was an April Fool's whiff off it. That's like an episode. We've highlighted and flagged in previous podcasts about how badly Sony are managing this franchise universe, whatever you want to call it.
It makes GC look good.
It does, and they're no. it's a joke. I mean, it's an absolute joke.
If you want to talk about people who are completely mishandling their franchise, Fox and Fantastic Four. So now the latest news on Fantastic Four is that Doctor Doom is not going to be called Victor Von Doom. Now he's going to be called Victor Dumashev. And rather than being a doctor, he's going to be a hacker.
Dumashev.
Who goes by the handle of Doom.
You know what?
Yeah. Is he down with the kids?
I don't know.
Initially, Victor Dumashev does sound a bit better than Victor Von Doom.
Yeah, but Victor Von Doom has a high cam field, and I like
that.
Then
again, that's like saying hepatitis B is preferable to hepatitis C.
It's just... The more I hear about Fantastic Four, it's just worrying. It's just really, really worrying.
I just keep thinking of the 90s TV show, the cartoon, that they used to show in Double Bill with Iron Man.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Well, maybe. I think Scott Weinberg was tweeting about that and said that he doesn't think that a live-action Fantastic Four movie just won't work. That it is an animated thing is his natural home, and he may have a point.
Maybe.
You could do it.
I mean, it's been knocking around for years, and nobody's cracked it yet. And as you said yourself,
and Lord knows the first,
boring.
The original two were no great tricks.
You don't need to have them as a standalone. Reed Richards is important in the comic, in the Avengers. So,
I know, but I mean, that's taken away from the fact that you're trying to make a Fantastic Four film. Or I suppose to kind of crowbar it into something else.
Yeah. Like any decent story, it needs its room to breathe. But I think Weinberg is right. It probably just needs a better medium. And Lord knows, we'll see this year that animation is a good way to tackle hero stories. Look at the Lego movie or Big Hero 6. It can be done by animation.
Yeah. We're going to, but. It's going to cast a black mark, or possibly cast a black mark, over some fairly promising careers. Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, it's a fine cast. I mean,
I don't know. They've been in other stuff, other interesting stuff. Miles Teller's in Whiplash.
Yeah, but if they're signed into this as a franchise.
But if the film is bad enough, the franchise will last, they'll free their contract, and they'll go do other better stuff.
Yeah.
Who's directing that again?
It's Josh Trank, Chronicle director.
But I like Chronicle. So I can't see what he can do with it, but...
It's not Vader Fest. We'll see.
Yeah, we will.
So more news on the sublimely ridiculous is there's going to be a Playmobil movie.
You remember last week what I was saying about Ridley Scott's Monopoly movie? Yeah, scratch that. This is... Oh, my God.
We're through the looking glass here, aren't we? I mean, what's happening?
Well, we'll obviously get a Meccano movie then.
I want the Matchbox movie for all the cars I had as a kid.
Connects. I don't know.
I still like your idea for Game of Life movie. Yeah. You spin or you die.
Well, that's
But you could equally announce that this week with as much plausibility as this.
Absolutely.
And you know why they did this? Because they're going to have an equivalent to Good Cop, Bad Cop. You'd be going like, hello, hi, chums.
Hi, buddies.
Hi, buddies. Forget it. Leave me home.
News closer to home.
Better news.
Watford Film Festival happened last weekend, and they announced their winners.
Who won?
So They Call Me the Kid, which I have
no, we don't. Highlighted
before, and as being one of the ones to watch.
Did you?
It won.
Well said.
Well, you know, because it's really good.
Okay.
So it won the first prize for Best Short Film. And Xanthe Zed Jung's The Bullet Catch got the runner-up, with a special mention for Carrie Crowley's Waterway.
And then they, one of the things about Waterford is that they do a script competition as well. So there was about 20 entries into that. And the winners of that receive a cash prize and 5 days' worth of hire from Film Lab.
Nice. Cool.
And so the John Hughes won that for The Wake, and Howard Jones was runner-up for Cynic.
I think I follow John Hughes on Twitter.
Yeah.
If I do, I think it's the same one. Congratulations.
Feed him later.
I will.
You will.
I shall.
Indeed.
So the Underground Cinema the Underground Cinema had their awards as well over the weekend. Skunky Dog was the winner.
I am shocked.
Tristan Henu won Best Actor as well, and the full details of the awards are up on the website. So
excellent. Congrats all.
There's the Lézard Film Festival is taking place in the Alps in a couple of weeks' time, and it's the highest film festival in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, at over 3,000 meters. Yeah. It's higher than anything in Ireland.
It'll never beat the Everest Film Festival, such is life.
But this year it's having an Irish strand. It's having an Irish focus. So,
wow.
Yeah. So Lenny Abramson's Frank is playing in competition.
Very good. Hi, Lenny.
Sorry,
you thought like, it was nicely insane.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Oh, dear. And then they're showing a bunch of films from historical films and some that came out this year. So we have Mikey Collins is going to play there.
Yeah.
The General.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also have Bloody Sunday.
Yes.
Dollhouse.
Never seen it.
Good Vibrations.
Fantastic.
Intermission.
Yeah.
My Left Foot.
Yes.
Once.
Yeah.
And Perrier's Bounty.
Dreadful. It's truly dreadful. Have you seen it?
I haven't, and you can't.
Do watch it, please. Just so I can say to them, isn't that dreadful? And you go, oh, good God, how did I watch this?
So they're the old films that are playing, and then the new ones are Song of the Sea, Patrick's Day, and The Stag.
Ah,
yeah. I quite enjoyed The Stag up those two. I haven't seen the other two.
Yeah, so it's on December 13th to 20th in Bourg Saint-Maurice in France.
That's a nice gig if you get flown over that.
Yeah, exactly. So, on news of Lenny. Lenny is... has he's begun shooting on Room, and his cast, John Allen and William H. Macy.
No. Amazing news.
Lenny, can we have like on set visit? More specifically, can I have? Okay, I just want 10 minutes to talk to Joan Allen. Okay,
he's shooting in Toronto and Pinewood before he comes back here for post-production.
Oh, for God's sake, that's too far away. I want to meet William H. Macy.
Pinewood's not that far away.
Yeah.
This sounds good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a great cast. Brie Larson also. It's a fine novel. As I said before, if you get the script right, this could be sensational.
We await with patient breath.
I'm casting him for the kid.
Well, we have to cast him. For
the kid. Yeah, but it's as long as it works. I think it's kind of dependent.
So, on to the top 10.
Hurrah, man, this is a fascinating one this week.
At 10, and into the top 10 in the second week, because it dropped just 4%. And it was a weak week apart from the leader. Yeah,
the leader sees all and knows all.
Mr. Turner is in at 10.
Hey,
yes.
I'm delighted. This is, in its first week, Mr. Turner has, in the UK and Ireland, has done better than any other Mike Leigh film beforehand. And as well as that, I'm delighted to report that Mr. Turner has beaten Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at the UK box office.
This makes me happy. Doesn't restores my faith, etc.
Yeah.
For a week. Until next week, something else.
Yeah, now that said, it's nowhere near beating it here, but you know what? Still just these little nuggets.
Yeah.
It's great. And
reasons for optimism.
Yeah, and it is one of the best films in the top 10, if not the best.
I still have to see. I hope to catch before I go away.
I bet you watch it now and you think, Philip, you oversold that.
Philip, I am a huge Mike Leigh fan. I'm a huge Simply Spa fan. If I don't like this, I'd be amazed.
Okay, then.
Excellent. At 9, The Maze Runner.
Is this still here?
It is.
Why, though?
Jinx!
Why? I love it, God, boy.
Because it's passable young adult adaptation. So
and it keeps, and it only drops a little bit each week. It down 32%. That's big enough.
It's still in 46 locations. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it is still just shy of 700,000. It'll just about make that, and then it's gone. It's just holding out for the set.
Oh, yeah, it'll have passed that by now, actually.
This very moment.
Yeah. Somebody somewhere is now giving it its 700,000 euros.
Oh, well done.
At eight, Fury.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's doing okay.
It's doing okay, but it's going down the charts fast enough, too. For it's his third week, but for a film headlined by Brad Pitt and a war film in award season.
And with Remembrance.
Exactly,
with
Remembrance.
I'll show it above. Sorry. I heard good things, but the trailer is so generic. I just need someone to use everything.
It'll finish with 800,000 to 850,000, but yeah, it's fine. That's fine. I think Sony will be okay with that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. At seven, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Do you reckon if people go to the box office, they'd try and say that title?
Just say
I know I would. Or don't. They'll only end up showing Oliver Stone's film.
They'd be very, very upset.
I was very, very upset when I thought.
I have the director's one DVD to watch.
I've heard it's a slight improvement.
I would imagine so. If it isn't.
Speaking of films and making slight improvements to them, I don't know. There's a new version of Gravity out, the Blu-ray with no score.
Yeah. That's pointless. And and dare I even say an insult to his composer, Stephen Price.
Who won the Oscar?
Who won the Oscar? Score. Exactly.
I will point out, if you want to improve Gravity, leave the score in, take the screenplay out.
I high-five that suggestion, sir. Whatever about Interstellar, but it wipes the floor with Gravity.
There was some other suggestions for films that they should do this with. So, films that you should not have a soundtrack in. Titanic.
No.
Second half of Titanic would be amazing with no soundtrack.
I disagree.
I don't think the second half of Titanic would be amazing, no matter what you do.
Yeah,
Justin Bieber's never said ever.
Okay, I can agree with that. Might I just say, that Titanic score is excellent once you remove that god-awful Celine Dion song.
Yeah, no, I just thought, yeah, then the One Direction concert movie.
Easy targets, but fair enough.
Yeah.
At six,
we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There are these heroes in a half shell. To the tune of over €1 million.
Wow.
People, what are you doing?
Yeah, and again, like Maze Runner, it's dropping little by little each week, and it's going to be there next week, I fear.
Oh, gotcha. At five, and not there next week, Ouija, which suffered a 50% drop.
Big surprise, we predicted this, and it's after Halloween. I can't imagine this will be here next week, but who knows?
No.
I can't not talk about it again.
At four, Nightcrawler.
That's hanging on in there.
I liked it a lot.
But that actually went up on last week. It was five last week.
Yeah. That's because we just dropped and the rest of them went up.
Mm.
But I like it. It's a point of.
Yeah. 268,000 so far. Should finish with 350 at the end of it all, if not more.
Yep.
Nice. That's not bad. I recommend.
A tree, The Book of Life.
Ah. Well, there it is.
Yeah.
An animation, of course.
Yeah, but a good animation.
Apparently, the bad animation's making money, so it doesn't really.
Yeah, but it's nice to see the good ones doing better. True. At two, after 6 weeks.
Not Gone Girl.
She
won't go anywhere.
David Fincher's Gone Girl.
Oh, this pleases me so much.
Which is now the 13th highest grossing film in Ireland this year.
What does it have to do to get into the top 10 at this rate?
It has to do with another $500,000.
Probably not then. It grossed 88,000 this weekend.
But it'll come close. It will.
It's a good film, and it's a triumph for adult film, oriented film, for a change.
Yes,
and indeed. And The Wolf of Wall Street this year is good to see.
Wolf of Wall Street is in the top 10.
Yeah.
Ah. And number one.
At number one.
Big surprise.
With the fifth highest opening weekend of the year, Interstellar.
It opened. Yeah.
For a 3-hour film, that's remarkable. Because if that was an hour less, they would add another 200 grand onto that total.
No bother. Wow. Like you say, for a 3-hour film. My only fear with this is it front-loading its box office?
Possibly.
I think...
Four, does it have to stay in her?
4.5x multiplier is what they're looking at in the States. So
it's underperformed a little on its opening weekend. The State. Big Hero 6 beat it.
Big Hero 6 beat it. It got 56 million, and Interstellar is touching in and about the 50 million. So Warner said they made, or Paramount said they made 50 million, but nobody else seems to believe them.
It's about the 49 mark.
Yeah,
it's also it's really about the international market, really, here, isn't it?
Yeah,
probably got to make the money.
Interesting thing about that was that Warner's put up a quarter of the money in return for the international rights, and the international rights
did
not make a
good business.
About three times more.
That was canny.
Wasn't it though? Yeah. Well, it's going to be in the top 10 for a while, but again, we'll just see how it performs week on week. It could be a fast drop.
Yeah. It's a divisive film. It's
very.
It certainly is. I think we all like it.
It's an extraordinary looking film. It's,
yeah.
It's very well shot.
And it's...
got an amazing score.
What's the budget?
165 million. Possibly.
Yeah.
It's not outlandish, is
it?
Oh,
it'll do
films,
fine.
It's a good lot of films usually go north of 200 million.
235 including marketing.
Yeah. Is that all?
That's not a lot. Like, it's not a huge amount. Well, it's big, but in blockbuster here, maybe it's not a huge amount.
Yeah. I mean, it'll get double that. No problem.
Yeah, no.
Which is really the benchmark that any big
I would imagine you're aiming for minimum.
So.
We'll see what happens next week. But I don't begrudge its success because...
Out of all the other bars. So they put it into a safe, and then it comes in and it's collected. And so gangsters, more so some rogue element, targets the pub. The Chechen guys are a bit upset, and they have to get the money back. Meanwhile, Tom Hardy has found an incredibly cute dog inside in a bin.
I keep hearing about this dog.
I say, Noomi Rapace, for your much what Tom Hardy is playing.
I'd rather not think about anything much about Lawless.
Same here, except for the soundtrack.
And a few of the cast.
Yeah. So the drop is, a 3-star film. It's
okay.
Very, right. Very much so.
Considering what can be in the charts sometimes, they do worse.
Yeah. So, there's absolutely no way this can be 3-star or higher. The Nativity Tree, Dude, Where's My Donkey?
I like the title. I like the kind of Dude, God. Where's My Donkey?
Where is
Why
My Donkey?
You like that? That's just so...
Guffaw, like.
How could that make you guffo? It makes me want to throw up the snow.
Where are we talking about this? I mean, this
and
is...
why? Why is there even a third? Why are there any of these things?
These things have passed me by the way.
Well, mind you, I think Martin Freeman was in the first
one. Martin Freeman was in the first
one. I presume we make money. I mean, that's hence the third one.
They don't cost them.
That would appreciate that also.
So basically, what we're saying
Christmas.
Is it's unimaginative and cheap.
Exactly.
Gee, we're on to a winner here.
Speaking of unimaginative and cheap, Third Person is out this week.
Oh, dear.
Oh, the whiff of this. I read about it today. There's a stinker of this.
Yeah, this has been out in the US for a while, and it got caustic reviews.
Yeah, this is Paul Haggis. Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't. His name is Haggis, and let's just remember him as the piece of whiffy ham that he is.
Yeah, finally getting called out on his crash.
Yeah. And let us not forget, Crash is dreadful.
Oh, it's an awful film.
By all accounts, is even worse.
This is a terrible film. This has got Liam Neeson, Mila Kunis, Olivia Wilde, and Adrian Brody. So how in the name of God it's as bad as it is, I cannot understand.
Well, we can.
Oh,
thanks.
Yeah. Oh, it's...
The man really can.
Oh, Maria Bello as well.
And
Kim Basinger.
Is Kim Basinger right?
James Franco.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Michael. Oh, no.
Probably plays the bongos.
No, he does not. So I watched this about 2 months ago, and it is...
I'm glad you did not.
I took a bullet, because it's thick.
Where is this opening?
Terrible.
How big an opening is this?
I can't imagine it's going to get too big an opening, but...
Screens,
it's another one of his multi-stranded...
Yeah, you cannot explain the plot without ruining the film. Well... I say, no, you can watch it and that will ruin the film.
You're struggling to explain, that's a good sign.
It's a terrible film, it's just... Oh.
Part of me in the perverse sort of way wants to see it, to see how bad it is, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, he's trying to be suspenseful and just confusing. And it's, I don't, no, I just... It's a completely pointless exercise. is what it is.
Jesus, that's pretty damning.
Yeah. If I cast CGI in a mainstream film that I've seen in many a year, basically what they're doing is that they're showing excerpts of World War II, and rather than use footage or even like using something from Saving Private Ryan, they use CGI to do it.
Fill in the war.
Oh, yeah. It's feckin' awful. Fill in the war.
Hang on, you're the positive view.
Right, so that's terrible. Right, okay. So what's really good is Benedict Cumberbatch, right? And the...
That's one thing.
Yeah, and his portrayal of what's a very interesting story.
I mean, nobody doubts that's an interesting story. Everybody knows... It's a fascinating story.
It's the best Matthew Good performance I've seen in a while, too, because I really don't like him.
I like him, actually. He gave good creep in Stoker.
And he's good in The Good Wife.
Yeah, I just can't forgive him for Ozymandias.
I don't mind him as Ozymandias.
Yeah, no, he's not Ozymandias.
He's a little miscast, maybe, but he did the best he could.
I think it'd be a little harsh on it, but anyway.
No, that and Leap Year.
Okay, we can't forgive anybody. No. Leap Year. More off the point.
I liked The Imitation Game. I like it as the kind of biopic that it is, as the kind of Oscar-y type film that it is. I enjoyed it. Philip, you did not.
It is interesting because I hate it for pretty much all the reasons you seem to like it.
Yeah.
It is exactly as you say. It is an Oscar-grabbing biopic, and it hits pretty much all those predictable beats. And for such a fascinating person as Alan Turing, and for such a fascinating story as The Cracking of Enigma, to be reduced to that is a sin. Cumberbatch's fine. I think he's pretty good, but... And yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, wow, he's great. Yes, I believe that is Alan Turing when I look on the screen. It's Benedict Cumberbatch doing a great impression, as is always the way with these biopics.
Sorry, that's called acting, Philip.
No, there is a line. There is a line. Yeah, he's fine.
Ian McKellen explained it best in Extras. It's a person pretending to be somebody else.
Okay, I think he's fine. Keira Knightley does fine. All the cast do quite well. Charles Dance gets a few scenes to steal as this kind of buttoned up. Head of Bletchley Park, as is his way. Exactly.
Yeah, he gets to be the most British person in the film.
He does it very well.
Yeah.
But as I said, this is so horribly, horribly predictable, and to reduce that story to that is really a shame. Morton Tilden is the director. He directed the adaptation of Joe Nesbitt's Headhunters. And
I hated that. I think God, now I see what he's done next. Oh, good Lord. Okay.
I didn't mind Headhunters, but I just found this so dull and so... You know exactly the kind of stylistics you're going to get. You can imagine what the score is going to be like. Surprise, surprise. It's by Alexandre Desplat. It's so predictable, and you can guess the plot beats in my life. I just can't forgive them for rendering that story so dull.
And I will say, before you guys had seen it, I saw the trailer for it, and I got exactly the whiff of everything Philip has just said off the trailer. Before I even heard views of new guys, like, it has that kind of predictive, like, reaching for that kind of, it's calculated within itself to sell to Oscar.
Calculated. Aren't they lucky that Turing had this female companion with whom he had a very close relationship so that they could frame his homosexuality within an approachable heterosexual, well, vaguely heterosexual male-female union?
It seems to have stripped off any kind of danger to our point to it.
Yeah.
Which is worrying because it's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story with really 1-2-3 script. Very, very weak.
I don't mind if you're going to paint by the numbers, as long as what you end up with is a painting and not like a children's drawing. And
I'll put it this way. They've put it together. It is a film. I can give it that. But these kind of predictable biopics are just 10 a penny these days, and this does nothing stand out from the crowd. Nothing.
No.
Cumberbatch is the most.
Yeah. And that for that, I elevate.
I know.
So, Jason.
Yes.
Life Itself.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. I saw this Stranger Than Fiction in UFI. on a rainy Sunday afternoon, which, you know, is always nice scene setting for a film about film. You know, if you're in a cinema watching something about film, it's...
And not just about a film about film, a film about the man who was very much all about
film. With film. For a lot of people, a film criticism, particularly as Roger Ebert.
The man we all aspire to be.
Yes, indeed.
Lord knows I'm nearly there with the weight.
Richard Roper.
But
you're funny.
It's directed by Steve James, who a lot of people know from Who Dreams, the director of Who Dreams. And got a bit of a start from Ebert, who did kind of support and kind of mentor him a little bit back.
Well, he claims that the success that Who Dreams had is all because of Ebert.
Yeah. And there's a couple of other filmmakers that kind of make similar claims throughout the film. The story itself is a fairly straightforward telling in a lot of ways in a documentary sense. Like, it goes back to the early years, kind of the younger success. It has talking heads from filmmaking, including the superb Herzog.
Herzog was always up.
But his wording is, I won't kind of repeat what he said, but it's worth watching.
Should I attempt my Werner Herzog impression?
Yes,
I am glue.
You get a few of those. You get a lot of stuff about from his Gene Siskel and Ebert days, where they were kind of in serious rivalry as being the number one guy in Chicago, film critic, and then how it went nationally and the arguments within. And then it gets sad because Roger Ebert gets sick, and you see the kind of the footage of some flinching of his kind of last year, I guess. Mm-hmm. And which is kind of shocking initially, even though you kind of know, but it's actually kind of, but Ebert wanted that way, and he's still funny, he's still aware, still bright, it's all in the hands then at that stage. And there's some moments, some beautiful moments of poignancy that really kind of pulled and kind of hurt. Scorsese talking about him, a picker who gets tears up a little bit. That's when I tear up a little bit, Marky tears up a little bit. That's what it's said. And there's various little moments like that are really beautiful put together. There's not a lot I didn't know. I've read a lot about it, so you're getting the kind of standard kind of information. Maybe a couple of surprises in there. But as I said, it tells the story fairly straightforwardly, but because he's such an interesting character in film, and he's written film as well as written about film, he's done a little bit of everything. So it's kind of made for me.
A film that was made for Jay.
Yeah, finally. It's excellent. And it's a lovely tribute to a very, very fine writer. And I'll go see. Just go see.
Oh, I will.
So there's another documentary out this week, and that is The Case Against Eight, that's on here in the Lighthouse. So that's about Preposition 8 in California, which put into the Declaration of Rights that marriage was only between a man and a woman.
See, my issue with documentaries like this, it's a worthy argument, but
it's going to be preachy.
Extremely preachy. I don't do well with preaching. That is going to be kind of the issue for it. But of course, it's a very hot topic, so okay, it had to be made. I suppose not. Could you really take another side on it? But yeah,
that's a different documentary.
Yes, isn't it?
You could, if the Republicans had made the documentary instead, they would. It would definitely have taken.
I think the only kind of interesting thing about it is that it's telling the story of a conservative lawyer. He's the guy who won Bush versus Gore in 2000. He's actually taking the case against Proposition 8. Yeah. Yeah, so that's an interesting in, but other than that,
yeah,
it could be preaching. Worthwhile, preaching.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah, so, and then the last film that's out this week is Set Fire to the Stars.
Any Dylan Thomas fans in the house?
Yeah. Not after Interstellar, kind of ruined it.
Indeed.
Rage against the dying of love.
Of the light. I could. It's a fine poem, but the tenth time I heard it.
I did it at school. I mean, you know, it's a little obvious. That's fine, but yeah.
Yes. This is Elijah Wood.
It is
automatically cool.
Yes, and Kelly Riley.
Oh, I don't know. She's had a few bum notes.
Kevin Jones plays Dylan Thomas.
What was that awful film that she made with Nicholas Rowe? What's it called again? Puffball.
I know, what was that awful film? You know, John Michael McDonough.
So it begins.
What was that myth though? She made with Denzel Washington. Oh yeah. What was she doing in that? Anyway, this is a film about Dylan Thomas.
It is a film about Dylan Thomas, and it's got Elijah Wood, as you said. So it's about he plays a guy who's an aspiring poet in New York who gets to spend a week raising hell with Dylan Thomas, as you do.
As you do.
Yeah.
There was another film a few years back that John Mabry made, The Edge of Love, which is also about Dylan Thomas, had Matthew Rhys. Him. He starred the aforementioned Ms. Knightley and Sienna Miller, as I recall. I believe it's not very good. I haven't seen it.
That's a fine looking cast.
Granted, it's handsome.
Yeah, so I know very little about this film, only that it seems to be doing well. It's got Elijah Wood in it, so you'd want to watch it. So.
Yeah, I'm making it.
Tell us what you really think, Jay.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure.
Oh, that was odd.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. Should we go see find out?
No.
Okay. Come on.
This is the guy who directed this. He directed 6 episodes of Torchwood, 10 of The Hunger UK, 5 of Downton Abbey, 2 of Dracula, the TV series.
Fine pedigree.
Wow.
I'm in. I'll take back everything I just said.
I can't tell if you're being... Are you being sarcastic, man?
No.
I don't even know anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So, on that...
On that bombshell.
Yeah, that joyful note. We'll leave it for the week.
Very good.
Howdy-ho.
Toodaloo.